And when he became a full-grown adult, near 30 years of age, he selected 12 men to pour his heart into, that these men walked with him, they sat under his ministry, they trained under him, and that when he got ready to leave, he turned it over to them, and he said, "Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. What you told me to do, I have done."
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Finishing God's Work. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Finishing God's Work.
All right. I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, and then we'll turn to chapter 19 and read verse 30. The Gospel of John. And Jesus says in verse 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do." And then in John chapter 19 and verse 30, when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. And this morning I want to talk to you on this subject, finishing God's work. Finishing God's work. I heard a man give an illustration one time, and he was a motivational speaker, and he was trying to motivate people to do the best that they can in life and to get as much out of life as they can. And he introduced this concept of the rocking chair theory, and he went on to explain the rocking chair theory. He said that if you came to your life, the end of your life, and you knew that you only had a couple days left, and you were sitting in a rocking chair meditating on your life, just rocking back and forth, and you had a sound mind and a reasonable portion of health and strength, and you were able to reflect back on your life in that rocking chair, knowing that your life was pretty much complete and that you had done everything that you were going to be able to do in this lifetime, and you look back over your life, would you have some regrets? Would there be some things that you would regret? Would you go back and say that I wish I would have done this, or I wish I could have tweaked this, or I wish I would have did this or that differently? I've shared the story about one of the ladies I went to visit one time in the hospital. She was an elderly lady, and when I went in, she started weeping and crying. And she said, "Oh, Pastor Glaze," she said, "here I am sick in the hospital, and I don't know if I'll ever get out of this hospital again. And I know that there was things that God had me to do, and I never did them." And she sat there in that hospital bed, and she wept and she cried because she felt that there were some things that God had her to do that she would never be able to do. And so we see here in the Gospel of John that John records in the Gospel of John chapter 17, he says in verse 4 that Jesus said this. He said, "I have finished the work which you gave me to do." That Jesus realized that he had an assignment and he did the work that God had given him to do. He was at the end of his life. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew he had another day or two left on the face of this earth. And he was able to say with all confidence, "Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do." What about you, my brothers and sisters? Have you finished the work that God has given you to do? See, Christ understood his assignment. And you know, this thing, my brothers and sisters, is becoming more and more real to me. And you know, it's not that I didn't know it before, but it's becoming more and more real to me And that's this whole thing about discipleship. And I'm realizing that it's just one thing that he gave us to do. He didn't tell us to build a sanctuary. He didn't tell us to build great children's programs. He didn't tell us to institute great worship services. Jesus only gave us one assignment. Just one assignment. One thing. And we want to do everything else but the one thing that he told us to do. And that is to make disciples. I don't care how you cut it. I don't care how you slice it. I don't care how you exegete it, how you divide up the word, how you fix it up. That the one thing that he told us to do was to make disciples. And Christ understood his assignment. He understood his assignment. Christ came for two things. He came for two things. If you put the other one up there. He came for two things. He came to make disciples, and he came to die on the cross. Other than that, I don't find any other reason why Jesus came. Somebody, well, he came to fulfill prophecy. Well, the prophecy was about him coming to train disciples and died on the cross. Well, he came to give us an example as to how to live. Well, the example was how to live was to make disciples, and he died on the cross. So you can't get around it. That Jesus understood his assignment. And his assignment was twofold. To train a group of men to take the message throughout the world. In Matthew chapter 28, if you'll turn there. Matthew chapter 28. And like I said, this is just becoming more and more real to me. All right. We'll try these, right? Matthew chapter 28. Yeah, that'll work. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Now, when Dave Dawson was here, this point really, I mean, for some, like I said, I knew this all along, but when he pointed it out, and he went to each one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then he went to the book of Acts, and he said that this was Jesus' last message, that before he returned to glory, that before he went back to heaven, that he told his disciples one thing, and that was to go into the world and make disciples. And Jesus was born in this world. He became incarnate. He took upon the form of a man. He grew up. And when he became a full-grown adult, near 30 years of age, he selected 12 men to pour his heart into, that these men walked with him, they sat under his ministry, they trained under him, and that when he got ready to leave, he turned it over to them, and he said, Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. What you told me to do, I have done. And he could go to the cross, and he could be crucified on the cross with the full confidence of knowing that he had no regrets because he had done what God told him to do. You know, there was a lot of people that didn't get healed. There was a lot of people that didn't get fed. There was a lot of people that didn't see the miracles. And I'm sure that in that day there would have been crowds of people that would have said, man, I wish I could have got to Jesus. I wish he could have healed me. You know, he didn't heal that guy, but he didn't heal me. But Jesus said, I finished the work. Even though this person didn't get healed, even though this person didn't get fed, I finished the work that God gave me to do. And that main work that he gave was to train these 12 men, to train them so that they would take this message. And the next thing that Jesus had to do, look at Mark 10, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to die on a cross. Somebody said, well, he came to be resurrected. He came to ascend back. Well, you know what? There would be no resurrection without a death. He couldn't rise from the dead unless he died. And so he became a man. And one of the main reasons that Jesus became a man, you know, we think back to Christmas and we think about the babe in the manger and how that, you know, we celebrate that. But that wasn't the reason that he came. We talk about the good news. Good news, the Savior is born. And that is good news to some degree. But that's not the good news. The gospel is the good news. That's what gospel means. It means good news. And what is the gospel? It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became a man so he could die on a cross. See, you know, I've been breaking this thing down on Wednesdays. And what we've come to the conclusion is that somebody, and this is what makes Christianity far superior to all other religions. Because all other religions say that you got to do something. You know, just think that if you are a Jehovah's false witness, no, I mean a Jehovah's Witness, if you are a Jehovah's Witness, you got to do, right? Don't go to birthday parties. Don't get a blood transfusion. Don't go into other people's churches, all right? So there's these rules that you have to live by, all right? So if you don't live by the rules, then how do you know when you're in, and how do you know if you're not in? So you go through, in every other religion, there's a set of rules. And if you're Muslim, you know, you got to pray 5 times a day. You got to go to Mecca at least once in your life. You got to fast during the month of Ramadan. You got to believe in Allah. You got to do. You got to do all these things. But Christianity says that you don't have to do anything. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, after you accept Christ, that's when you get busy doing. That when you accept him, then you get busy doing stuff. But we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so, all these other religions, how do you know when you've done enough? And then, how do you know when you've done something that's messed up everything that you did? And so, it makes common sense that somebody has to die. Somebody has to die for the sins of mankind. And so Jesus came. And the thing about it is that who could die for the sins of man? Who could die? A man can't die because a man is sinful themselves. In the Old Testament, they said that animals died, but the Bible is very clear that animals could never take away permanently the sins of man. So who could die for the sins of mankind? Only God. Only God could die. But you know the problem? What is the problem? The problem is that God can't die. Because God is an eternal spirit. And because he's God, he can't die. If God could die, then he wouldn't be God anymore. So what did God do? He loved us so much. God loved us so much that he took on the form of flesh so that he could die on a cross. And as Christ understood his assignment, he had a twofold assignment. He came to train disciples, and he came to die on a cross. And I want to ask the question, my brothers and sisters, today, and I wish y'all would pray with me. Pray with me this morning. Christ understood his assignment. And I want to ask you a question. Do you know your assignment? Do you know your assignment? You see, God has created every person to do something. You have an assignment. And I want to ask you, do you know what your assignment is? Christ understood clearly what his assignment was. The last week of his life, that he looked back on his life and he was able to go to the cross and he was able to say, Father, he said, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. And so Christ knew his assignment. Everything that God creates has an assignment. Everything that God creates, when God puts his hands to something, it has a purpose and it has a reason. When God made you, he made you with an assignment. Why did God give you eyes? Because they have an assignment. And what is their assignment? It's for you to see. Why did God give you ears? Because they have an assignment. And the assignment is for you to hear. Why did God give you a mouth? Because the mouth has an assignment, and that is for you to speak. Everything that exists has an assignment. And when Christ came to the end of his life, he understood that he had completed the assignment that God had given him. What about you? What about your assignment? When you think about an assignment, what is it? An assignment is a passion that God puts on your heart. This is the assignment. It's a passion. It's a fire that you have down in your spirit. What are you passionate about? And I would hope that as we go through this year, that one thing that you would be passionate about would be discipleship. That you would have a heart and a passion for discipleship, because that was the heart of Christ. Now, there may be some other things. If you ask me, see, I should be able to go and ask you, what is your assignment? And you should know what your assignment is. And your assignment, let me say this, that your assignment is not your job. Because some people say, well, my assignment is my job. No, that's not your assignment. You see, even if I was doing something else, if I was doing something else, if I was driving a bus for Pat, or if I was a taxi cab driver, or if I was working in a factory, that would just be my job. But you know what my assignment would be? I already know what my assignment is. It's to teach the Word of God. That's my assignment. So whatever field I'm in, I'm going to be teaching the Word of God. That's the passion that God has put in my heart. That's the passion that's in my spirit. And when Christ came to this earth, his passion was to raise up disciples. We've been studying the book in the small groups, 12 Ordinary Men. And as we look at that, you know, what is that all about? That's about Christ taking 12 people and pouring his heart into their hearts. Where are you pouring your heart at? What's your passion? What is it that God has not only given you a passion for, but if you look at the second thing, God has given you the ability to address that issue. God has gifted you to do what it is that he's called you to do. As I said earlier, only God could die for our sins. And so Jesus was qualified and equipped to die on the cross for man's sins. And he knew what his assignment. And if I came to you and I asked you, what is your assignment? You should be able to tell me what your assignment is in a statement. You know, my assignment is, I have a heart for men. I have a heart to see men come to Christ. What is your assignment? I have a heart to see women build up in the faith. What is your assignment? I have a heart to see children grow up and love the Lord. What is your assignment? I have a desire to see the seniors be ministered to and have activity. What is your assignment? And if you can't answer that question, then maybe you need to get before the Lord and you need to seek him. And you need to see what it is that he has for you to do. Because wouldn't it be a shame for you to live your whole life and miss the assignment that God has given to you? You know, I think about this story that I heard about this guy who was called to put a roof on somebody's house. And he came to the house, and you know, he looked at his address on his papers and saw the house and looked, and there was some vicious dogs in the yard. But he knew that he had to put this roof. So he went in there and tried to, you know, calm the dogs down, and they were barking and they were growling. And he tried to go in, and they were jumping at him. And so eventually he was able to throw some something, and the dogs chased it. And he hurried up, and he put the ladder against the house, and he climbed up the ladder, and he got to the top, and he found out that it had a brand new roof on it. He had gone through all that trouble and put his ladder against the wrong house. You know, there's a lot of people that they're pursuing the wrong thing. They're putting their ladder against the wrong things. You don't know what your assignment is, so you're putting your ladder against all these other things. You're putting your ladder against all these other houses, and they're the wrong house. And God would have us to do what he would have us to do. And as I said before, you know, your job, because some people can get that confused, your job is not your assignment. That's not your assignment. You know, maybe, you know, I had somebody that came to me, and they said, Pastor, I got a heart for ministering to people in this community who are victims of violence. Hey, that's your assignment. That's your assignment. And I would hope to God that Jesus Christ could be our example, and we could see that he had an assignment, and that every person here at Bethany Baptist Church would understand their assignment, and that when they came to the end of their life, that they could say the same thing that Jesus did. Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. As I think about somebody who understood his assignment and finished his assignment, let me give you some motivation from the Apostle Paul. Because Paul understood his assignment, and Paul completed his assignment. In 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And in 2 Timothy, Paul was on death row. He's about, according to tradition, to be beheaded. And as he's waiting there on death row, he says, I have fought the good fight. Paul was sitting in his rocking chair. And Paul looked back at his life. And as Paul rocked in his rocking chair, he said, Lord, I understood my assignment, and I finished the work that you have given me to do. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says this in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. Does this sound like a guy that know he's come to the end of his life? And you know, really the fact of the matter is that none of us know how many days that we have left on this earth. So really, I mean, we could almost take this philosophy in our life and take it throughout the rest of this life. But he says, I'm ready to be offered up. What does that mean? I'm ready to die. And I know I'm going to die. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. This word departure, it speaks of a ship sitting in a harbor, and that's waiting for the last visitor or guest or sailor to get aboard, and then they're going to loose the rope.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Finishing God's Work. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Finishing God's Work, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Finishing God's Work. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Finishing God's Work. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call us at 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.